Yes, sir. You already know what's going on. You know what time it is. I'm your host, Cam Silver.
And I am back, your co-host, Kyle Silver.
Welcome back to another episode of the Silver Boys Podcast.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, Kyle. Hey. Oh, yeah.
Talk to me.
We just got done watching the quarterfinals for the college football playoffs. Mm-hmm. So now the semifinals are officially set.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into that, we got some breaking news that just hit us literally a couple minutes ago. So after an ugly loss that the Miami Heat just took to the Indiana Pacers, Jimmy Butler has indicated to the Miami Heat that he wants to be traded to another team and he is willing to play anywhere but Miami.
Those are some bold, bold last words, brother. Because that just tells me he is not happy in Miami. Something is wrong in the organization, you know. And he just, and that you don't want an unhappy player in your organization, number one. Number two, like you said, they're 17-15, took a real bad loss to Indiana, you know, the other night. So that's just, it's just things that are just, I just doesn't seem to be going well. No idea where it's stemming from, but I guess it all starts with Jimmy, I would say. I don't know how he's not happy though. You playing with Bam, like you know that's he's a star big man, like you
Tyler
know,
Hero.
Tyler Hero, who is on the still on the come up, like you know. So I don't know. That's breaking news. All right, I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
Yeah,
All right, I'm not as shocked because after I watched his press conference when he talked about he wasn't happy, but I'm shocked that he still just went through with this. You know.
Yeah, especially after you know, like the trade rumors have been swirling around for a minute. You know, Jimmy Butler's agent had called Shams, you know, a liar and all this other stuff when Shams had broke that news, you know, just a few weeks ago that, you know, the trade rumors started to heat up, but looks like everything is true. And you know, I'm not surprised, but it's like really, like now, you know what I mean? It's one of those things. So very interested to see who is looking to trade for him and what would Miami be asking for. Also willing to see if he has a list out there that he may give the Heat and if they are willing to abide by that list too. So
yes, that's the most important thing, right? Because he said that here, so your list don't really matter. But Miami, if they can get a good deal out of it, right?
Yeah, I heard that. I did hear a while back when you know the trade rumors started swirling. I did hear a while back that one of the teams was indeed the Suns.
Wow.
So I think we all know one of those big three will have to be given up, and I think we all know who will be given up.
Bradley Beal. We all know. We all know. We
Yeah,
all
there
know.
we go. Braddacious is what I call him.
Yeah, Brad.
Braddacious.
Hey, yo. Braddacious.
Braggadacious, baby.
Oh my God.
But
that's an interesting one. That's something we gotta like really touch on in depth, like you know.
yeah. I think you know, because you know the story just broke, so you know that's something
Yeah.
that I think by like next week we'll have more on that. But yeah, that one's just that's a crazy way for us to even just start this podcast. I'm
I
not
know,
gonna
right?
lie.
We just said Jimmy Butler to maybe the Phoenix Suns. What? For Bradley Beal. Oh,
What?
I guess that Bradley Beal tenure ain't work out too hot.
Yo, he's always, yeah, I got him on my fantasy team, dude. He's like in and out of that lineup so much, bro. So much. And
Yeah.
it's like, it's frustrating. You could see like it's probably like frustrating for the rest of the team. And
Chris.
obviously it just hasn't worked out for them. So maybe, you know, you get Jimmy in there. So who knows? Who knows? Like I said, we'll have more on that next week.
We'll see how it goes.
But
We'll see how it goes.
yeah, but moving on, to some other NBA news. So the Los Angeles Lakers traded away D'Angelo Russell and Maxwell Lewis on December 29th for 3 second-round picks. They traded them both to Brooklyn for Dorian Finney-Smith and Shake Melton. Lakers are sending second-round picks in 2027, 2030, and 2031. So this is pretty big right here. First couple games for D'Lo out in Brooklyn have been great. You know, he looks like the old D'Lo, the D'Lo that, you know, that we seen beforehand when he was back in Brooklyn the
Back in
first time.
Brooklyn, yo.
Yeah. And I think that's just solely because, you know, now he has the ball in his hands and he could just play freely instead of kind of force feeding it to Bron, force feeding it to AD. He could finally, you know, get the ball back in his hands. Prayers up to Maxwell Lewis because he had got hurt and it looks like a season-ending injury for him, you know, first time getting out there in Brooklyn. So, but the future's bright for him. Young kid on the come up. The future's bright for him. So hopefully for a speed recovery and that he comes back next year, you know, just hitting. But you know, and the Lakers get a pretty good piece with Dorian Finney-Smith. A good 3-and-D guy. Shooting so far has been really good for him this year, 44% from the three. And this also helps out LA in the salary and luxury tax flexibility. They're saving like 15 mil trading away D'Lo and Maxwell Lewis. So
That's big. That's big.
So you know that I guess that puts them in prime position to go get somebody else, you know,
If
if
they go
they
get
really
Dame.
want to. Yeah. Maybe.
Next thing you know, Bron, AD, Jimmy Butler. Huh?
That'd be a lot.
That would never happen. I know, but just imagine for a second. I mean, yo, shout out D'Lo, you know, definitely, like you said, what you alluded to earlier, you know, he's playing a lot better because he has the ball in his hands now. He can play, like, you know, freely. He doesn't have to really rely on anybody else, I would say. He can really, you know, like you said, force feeding it and deferring to Bron, deferring to AD. Like, you know, it's different when you have to defer to two greats, or you could just play by yourself, is what I'm trying to say here. So yeah, good. We'll see how it goes. Dorian Finney-Smith is a very good pickup, though. I like him. I like him a lot. I like him from his days. And you said his shooting's good now, but I like him from his days with the Mavericks. I thought he was a really good piece, like when he was with them. So, and I think he could be a valuable addition to that JJ Redick squad. Yeah. Yeah.
So good stuff on both sides. And then the other dudes that caught everybody off guard. So the Kings fired Mike Brown. They this is the craziest part. They fired him on a phone call while he was on his way to the team plane for their flight to LA because I think they were playing like Lakers. I think they were going to play Lakers or the Clippers at that time. And this is wild. In his first season, he won Coach of the Year. He ended the Kings' 16-season drought of a playoff berth without going to the playoffs, excuse me. And he had a record of 107-88 with the winning seasons in both full seasons.
Now, egregious, first of all, is the first word I have to say. Blasphemous is the second word I have to say. I don't like it whatsoever. And shout out Mike Malone for calling attention to the subject and him going off the way he did. I really liked his response. And because you know, he came from, you know, that Sacramento organization. He knows the owner, and he even said, like, the owner is just, you know, whatever of a guy.
BS, BS, yeah.
Exactly. So I'm very, very shocked because it wasn't like he had any bad relationships with De'Aaron Fox, your star player, or Malik Monk. He, like you said, two winning seasons, coach of the year in his first season, ended a 16-year playoff drought, and then you fire him on a 14 out of 19 game loss, like, you know, losing streak. That's not, no. You loved him when he was up here, and then you let him go when y'all were down here.
Exactly.
You push him to the curb, and you really did push him outside the building into the curb when you called him when he was on the team when he was on the way to the team plane.
Yeah,
You had the decency to call him into the office. Wait till after the holidays. You didn't show him no type of like professionalism at all. At all.
I think the biggest thing for me is you didn't even at least like talk to the guy.
Didn't talk to him face to face.
You know, like that's the biggest thing. Like you don't even at least talk to the guy. It's third season, you know, the team isn't looking so great. Well, how about you evaluate why the team doesn't look so great? You know what I mean? Like you guys don't have big enough people. You know, you guys don't have the 3-and-Ds. You guys don't have the all around shooting that everybody else has. You know what I mean? Go look at OKC. OKC has everything. You want to know why they're number one in the West? Because they have everything. They have length. They have size. They have shooting. They can defend. They have everything.
Everything.
Meanwhile, Meanwhile, you know, the Kings are struggling because you guys had the same team from when you guys first got to the playoffs all the way to now. You can't do that. Everybody else is
Everybody
getting
knows your,
better.
they know your recipe now.
Exactly. Everybody knows who you are. And then all you guys did was add on DeMar DeRozan, who is a mid-range shooter and not a long-range shooter.
Yeah.
You know, so that was just so frustrating and shocking to me, because it's like, at least have the decency to call the guy in and give him, be like, hey, look, you know, we're not doing great this year. You know, we want to get your opinion. What's your evaluation? How guys are looking? What should we do? Should we make certain moves here, there, or should we just keep this team and ride it out to the end of the year? You know what I mean? And like, that's it's just unjust in my opinion. And you
I
know,
agree.
the Kings will only have themselves to blame, especially if someone like now, if De'Aaron Fox wants to trade. What's that? You
Now
know what I mean?
look at you.
Now look at what you're gonna do. You know what I mean? Because then after
Break up
that,
the
I
whole
know
nucleus at that point.
exactly. Because Sabonis for sure won't stay. Malik Monk's services will be gladly appreciated somewhere else. So, yeah, now the Kings, they always figure out a way to get in their own way at this point.
Oh, of course they do, and it's just it's sad to see because like we just said, 16-year playoff drought is a very long time, a
Yes.
very long time, and they lit that beam for the first time, in 16 years. That means something, and even what Steve Kerr said about it too, about like you know how he was thankful to the Warriors organization for allowing him to go through the ups and go through the downs, and giving him the grace and the humility to do it too, you know.
And
It's
that's
not
what you
something you get
need.
everywhere.
Exactly. And that's kind of what you need if you're going to build a team.
You
You
need
know,
the ups and you need the downs, but you need the continuity as well.
but you need the continuity. Exactly. Yeah,
Dude.
that's just an ugly look in Sacramento. So, you know, I know Mike Brown's going to be fine. He's going to land on his feet somewhere. He's
Oh, Mike Brown will be okay.
He's an
Yes.
incredible coach. He's an incredible coach. Coach. I would love to have him, you know, on my team any day of the week. So, but moving on to the college football playoffs. Like we said when we started, we just got done with the quarterfinals. So I'll read you off with what we had. So starting on New Year's Eve, we had Penn State beating Boise State 31-14. Our boy Ginty just fell short of breaking the Barry Sanders record, but Penn State was just a little too much. Texas escaped an upset bid from Arizona State, winning 39-31 in double overtime. That was a fun game. And Ohio State, they keep playing the way that they keep playing. You might as well give them the trophy right now, belt to
They was just
tail,
whooping Oregon, boy. Whooping, just
whooping,
whooping
whooping.
Oregon.
But 41-21, boys is up 34-0 at a certain point in time, right before the half, before Oregon had came in with a desperate, you know, what was that 1 2 minute drill that they had all the way got down and got, you know, got the touchdown and 2 point conversion. Then we ended up with Notre Dame beating Georgia 23-10. That was a pretty good game as well. A good defensive battle. Don't get many of those too much now.
Not anymore. Not anymore. That was a great defensive battle. Notre Dame's
Great.
defensive line is just tanks at this point, my boy. Tanks.
Amazing. But let's start off with Penn State. So Penn State beats Boise State. They looked real good. They looked real good, you know. And I understand, obviously, yes, it's Boise State and all that good stuff, but they looked real good, you know. They made Ashton Gentry work for every single yard. Not 1 yard was easy. I think his longest run was 20 yards, and I think that was on like a 3rd and 20 when they didn't expect, you know, Boise State to run. But other than that, there was literally 2 to 3 guys in Ashton Gentry's face as soon as he got the ball. If he were to break off from those guys, there's another 2 to 3 in front of him waiting for him in the second, you know, on that second level, and even on the third level. So they had the perfect game plan: stop Ginty, make Madsen pass the ball, and you know, look at where it got them. It got them a good amount of chances to do their thing, and then Jrue Allard did his thing. He was 13 for 25, 171 yards and 3 touchdowns. Ka'Chon Allen, 17 carries for 134 yards.
On
Jeez.
17 carries, though. Less than 20.
Jeez.
That's nasty.
That's crazy.
That's nasty. That's nasty. But then again, we weren't talking about Boise State's defense. We were talking about their running
We talk
back.
about, and that's literally all we talked about. That's
Exactly.
what, like when we first started talking about the playoffs, we were talking about Penn State defense a lot. You
Yeah.
know, like
Penn State
that was
probably
one.
has the best defense right now in left in the college football playoff, I believe.
Okay, I guess I might give it to Notre Dame, low key.
I did, and we got to, and we gonna see, and we gonna see.
Yeah, we are, we are. moving on to a Texas upsetting, not upsetting, but escaping the upset of Arizona State. Man, I thought this game was over. Like, what was that? 10 minutes left to go
It should have
in
been
the fourth
over.
quarter. Yeah, they were up what 24-8. Texas was, yeah, like you said, it should have been over. But then couple mistakes by Texas at the end of that fourth quarter had Arizona State moving along. Cam Scattable,
Yeah,
he was talking like
he
he was
wanted them
talking like he
ones.
was he was talking like he was one of those guys, and he proved that he was definitely one of them guys. You feel me? 30 carries, 143 yards, two touchdowns on the ground, eight receptions for 99 yards in the air, and he threw a touchdown for 42 yards.
One for one, 42 yards, and a touchdown. Tell me that boy wasn't just putting the team on his back, putting
What?
the whole team on his back, boy.
What, man? I know he was exhausted after that.
That's
They even they what's it called? The oh my goodness, the chairman for the Peach Bowl. He was like, in like the 40 plus years that we've been doing this, we've never done this before. They gave the MVP to the losing team, the
Facts.
Scatterball.
He
That's
breathed
crazy.
it though. He really did, because if Arizona State were to win, it would have been because of Scottaboo.
Yeah,
And
easily.
everybody obviously would have knew that, but it's just the fact that he would have went in there and beat Texas by himself. And he almost did.
Yeah, took him to double overtime when it shouldn't even been that close.
Shouldn't even have been that close to even begin with. It's Texas, forcing things too much on the offensive side of the ball. They're just they look they're shaky. They're just shaky, bro. I don't trust them sometimes.
That's my worry with them when they're gonna have to face Ohio State coming up. You know, their play calling is very worrying to me. Like the Quinn when Quinn Ewers had thrown an interception, why are we throwing the ball at this given time? You know, why not run the clock, bleed the clock out? You know, that's something that you have to look at Sarkisian, and you have to look at the offensive coordinator at, because there's no reason to put your team in harm's way like that and then make the game closer. And then plus your field goal kicker was not on. He missed two field goal kicks to literally that more than likely would have won you the game.
Exactly. And that's just, oh, it seems like on all three phases of the game, I would not have been happy as a head coach.
No. I would have been happy that we escaped. I was seeing that we
I would have been
won,
happy we
but
escaped, but
I would have been like, no, like, you know, and
we
then
need to be better, obviously.
exactly. And then I'm pretty sure on their way back to their hotel or whatever, they were looking at Ohio State like, we don't get it together, we're cooked. Because what Ohio State had did to Oregon was just insanity. In the first half, to go up 34-0. In the first half, Will Howard threw for 11 for 18, 269 yards, and three touchdowns. Jeremiah Smith himself had five receptions, 161 yards, and two touchdowns.
In the first
And
half.
yes, in the first half.
That's
And then
nasty.
Emeka, himself, four receptions, 68 yards, and a touchdown. They were putting up what teams put up as a whole in a whole game in the
Sometimes
first
barely even
half.
that.
Exactly.
And they did it in the first half against the number one team in the nation, Oregon.
And the only undefeated team in the nation, too. They held Oregon to minus 23 rushing yards as a team.
Like that's embarrassing, dude. That's embarrassing, is Oregon.
It's just so rare to see a team become literally one-dimensional.
They like you said earlier before we started the podcast, it looked like there was just a bunch of guys that got dropped into the Rose Bowl and was just like, go play.
Go play, exactly.
Go have fun. That's it. Then that's unacceptable. The number one team in the nation, 13-0. You go out
Whoa.
like that. You go out like that. Nah, man. Nah, man. That's not right. That's not right what Ohio State did to them boys, man. That's not right. That's not right.
Two games in a row, they've been smacking teams around, and they face Texas next Friday. And if
They could
at
do
the
the
Cotton Bowl,
same. They could do the same thing, yo.
what we just talked about with Texas play calling and their random aggressiveness that doesn't need to be aggressive. If they do that against Ohio State and it backfires, they are in deep, I mean deep trouble, because Ohio State is clicking right now.
Yes, they're firing on all cylinders right now. Yes.
And then Notre Dame beats Georgia 23-10. That was a pretty good game, a real good defensive game. Notre Dame just took care of business. The defense took care of business for the most part. Didn't let Georgia get many explosive plays, just a couple. And then the special teams played a big role. The kickoff in the kickoff the second half, running it back for that touchdown. That kind of right there put the game out of reach a little bit.
I
But
think it did, yeah.
Georgia fought. Georgia still they still fought, and they still did their thing. It's just tough when you have basically a first first time starting as a quarterback coming in for Carson Beck, and then wide receivers were not able to get separation from any of the DBs that Notre Dame had. Notre Dame's
But
defensive
even
line
and
was able
then
to get
even when
through.
they did that on that one play, he dropped the
Dropping the
ball.
ball. Dropping the
My boy
ball.
dropped the ball.
Then Georgia had the most.
That would have lit a fire under them, and that could have been the deciding factor in the swing also, though.
Even
Can't
though
stop that ball.
that they did end up scoring on that drive, that right there, because that was going to be an explosive play.
Exactly. And those explosive plays mean everything. Just you get your team
Exactly.
hyped. Everybody just feels like they're invincible.
Exactly. Exactly. But now Notre Dame will go and see Penn State and the Capital One Orange Bowl next Thursday. That will be a good one. I think that will be another defensive battle.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can Penn State force Riley Leonard to be more of a thrower? Because in this game, he only had, 90 plus throwing yards.
90 exactly throwing yards.
There you go. Will they turn him into a thrower? Penn State looks to be clicking on all cylinders for the most part on the offensive end. Drew Aller looks good. Both their running backs look good. Tyler Warren, who their leading receiver is as their tight end, 6 receptions, 63 yards, and 2 touchdowns against Boise State. He looks good. He had over 1,000 yards this season, So at that one's gonna be a tough one. That one will be a tough one.
Most definitely. It's going to be tough for Notre Dame to get out of there, but I think if their defense can hold, and Riley Leonard can get free, that offensive line, if they can block, I think that's just going to be very important, which I think that they did very well against an SEC team who, and there's always like this stigma that SEC big boys, like, they eating beans and potatoes, and Notre Dame was running through all them beans and all them potatoes, my boy. So, but Penn State's built different on the defensive end, and like you said, clicking on all cylinders on offense right now. They're a hot team. They're the hot team, I would say.
They're up there.
With Notre Dame.
So, by the next time that we are able to talk, the games will be going on. So I would like to ask, who your game picks? Who you got?
Right, Texas versus Ohio State. Taking Ohio State. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna take them. I'm gonna take them. I think that they're clicking right now. And 42-17 against Tennessee, 41-21 against Oregon. They're probably gonna put up another 40 points if I had to guess right. So that's my pick for the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, and then the Capital One Orange Bowl. Don't know. I really like the way Notre Dame looked, but I'm gonna take. I don't really like Penn State, but I'm gonna take Penn State, I guess, because they got the best defense, I think. So I'm gonna just, I mean, yeah. But I could also just see them just falling by the wayside, like genuinely, like just like falling apart, like sand, just falling apart. And if Notre Dame, and coming off a hot one against Georgia, if they can do it, they. That would be even bigger, I believe. But
Yeah.
I'm gonna take Penn State. I'm gonna take Penn State.
Okay. I'm gonna go with Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. I think they're just clicking on all cylinders. Like I said, the play calling for Texas is suspect and it worries me. And their defense has been having trouble trying to close out games. So that's that. I'm going with Ohio State. And then Penn State, Notre Dame.
That's
I'm bigger
hard.
on
That's really
it
hard
is. It
because I'm gonna
really
tell you,
is.
because I think like they're genuinely like the same team, like kind of
Yeah.
like
I
the
mean,
same exact team.
yeah.
I think
Both
it's just
great
gonna be about who wants them
defensively.
more.
Yeah, both great defensively. Both have two good running backs. You know, I just think that Jrue Allard is just more of a thrower than Riley Leonard is. Riley Leonard is more of a dual threat quarterback, if you want to call him that, but he's more of a runner than he is a thrower. Or they're at least really good at, you know, quarterback design packages. So that's tough, but I think I'm gonna co-sign with you and I'm gonna go with Penn State. I just feel a lot more comfortable with Penn State right now. But like I always say this, I can always play devil's advocate. I would not be surprised if Notre Dame were to pull it out. But yeah, I'm gonna just lean a little bit towards Penn State right now.
I also think Penn State will give a better fight to whoever wins that Texas Ohio State game too than Notre Dame did. I really do think that. So Penn State
But
then
I
been through
think,
some tough battles this season.
oh yeah, especially coming up as of late too. So yeah. Ooh, only have a couple minutes left, so can't dive too deep into the NFL, but we will. But I will. We'll just go through real quick, like the conferences. So, Kansas City has the number one seed locked up. Buffalo Bills has number two seed locked up for the AFC. Baltimore will be playing fully against the Browns so that they could lock up the number three seed. Steelers will be playing fully against the Bengals so that they could lock up the number five seed. Chargers will try to lock up the number six seed. Denver will all Denver has to do is win and they're in. Miami would need to win and have the Broncos lose. Bengals would need both the Broncos and the Dolphins to lose in order for them to get in.
Bengals need the Broncos and the
And the
Dolphins to
Dolphins.
lose.
Yes, and they need to win against the and they need to win against the
Nah, the Dolphins gonna beat the Jets. I'm sorry. They can't beat
Steelers. Well,
Nah.
I have the Broncos beating the Chiefs because the Chiefs ain't playing nobody.
Exactly. So there you go. There you
You
go.
know what I mean? So I think one way or another, I don't really see the Bengals getting in, but if they do, look out.
That would be dangerous.
That'd be very dangerous. Going to the NFC, it is a fight for that number one seed. Detroit and Vikings, Detroit versus Minnesota. Whoever wins gets the number one seed. Whoever loses falls to that fifth seed, and it's on the road. That is scary. Philly, as of right now, yeah, Philly locked up the number two seed. I believe the Rams have locked up the number three seed, if I'm not mistaken. I know the number four seed is up for grabs, but Tampa and Atlanta, all Tampa has to do is win. They have the Saints. And all they have to do is win. I think the Falcons have the Panthers, if I'm not mistaken. And yes, the Panthers. You know, they would have to hope for the for Tampa Bay to lose. But other than that, the Commanders are in, and so are the Packers.
Look out. Those are two dangerous
Yeah.
things too.
Yes. The whole NFC is going to be a dogfight, and the
NFC
AFC.
dog fight right now.
The NFC is fully a dogfight from 1 through 7. The AFC, you can make a you. As long as guys are on, I say the only teams I wouldn't worry about are the Texans because they've been falling to the wayside. Denver has a rookie quarterback, so we'll see how that looks, and we'll see how the Chargers look as well. And plus, the Steelers haven't been looking great down the stretch, but who knows? The playoffs is a different playoffs is different. As long as you get the matchup that you want, you can probably get out of there. You probably get out and see what you can do in the divisional round. But, whew.
Good
Oh
job.
yeah.
Way to explain that to me. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna see, man. We're gonna see. I can't wait for playoff football, bro. That's gonna be big, man.
It's the last, like we're in the last week of the regular season, so
Sir,
you
we
know.
made it. We made
Yes. But we officially made it to the end of our episode.
Nice.
So I am your host, Cam Silver.
Thank you, guys. I'm your co-host, Kyle Silver.
And you already know what time it is. It is the Silver Boys.
Thank you. Thank you.